I mean, this I know. But how this Chinese guy would get to know it? I was grew up in an idol worship family, and later on I went to public school, received an atheistic education, to tell him I'm from monkey, and monkey from something, something from nothing. And how this Chinese guy would get to know Jesus loved him? Only because he gave us this precious Bible, tell us so. I was a fruit of a mission, and I was in my college first year, I met a missionary, and he is the first one that took out God's word to explain to me what it means to be Christian. God so loved the world, but we don't understand his love. We do not recognize his love because sin separates us from God, and there's no way I can reconcile to God to save myself from sin. Even I do all the great work, all the good work, religious work, there's only one way, that's by faith, just Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior. I did not got saved that day, but that day it became the day I became very struggle, because in China actually it's a very religious today, and you have so many idol worshipping, and all the even Christianity information since May in China age opening, and has so many influence in China. But majority we after I got saved, I involved Cambridge Ministry Underground Church. Majority that we are seeing that China today is to have a very mixed doctrine, non-biblical, non-Bible teaching. I was very confused. But anyway, that missionary began introduced me to Underground Church through preaching God's Word, John chapter 4, Jesus talking to Samaritan woman about living water. And the Lord used that Bible verse particularly, if thou knowest the gift of God and who speaks to thee. And the gift of God, I never thought about, I would think religious things is always about change. You bring a little penny, and you bring a flower, you bring a little chicken, you're asking for something greater for return from those so-called God. Maybe a contract, or maybe a healing of your disease, or something greater. You're always exchanging something. The Bible says eternal life and everlasting life. Not only so is that reconciliation between sinner and God, that it's a gift of God. A gift simply means you cannot earn for it, you cannot exchange for it, and you only can accept it or you reject it. And that day, Lord, you stepped Bible words, punched the door of my heart. By faith, I trust Christ with my personal Savior. 16 years ago, first year in college, and then as I mentioned that, I enrolled Underground Church, a lot of mixed doctrine teaching, and then I prayed to the Lord. I was very confused what's going on in China today, a lot of the charismatic movement, all the things going on. And I just, Lord, I want to sense something wrong within me. Lord, Christian life should not be like that way. And Lord, show me that way, show me that truth. And Lord, answered the prayer. 2009, I got a scholarship coming to the United States for a PhD in electrical engineering at University of Tennessee. I used the first month to visit a different church. I don't know how many churches I visited. The Lord providentially that informed me to Tampa Bay Church, a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And it was there, by fooling, preaching, and teaching God's word, that God revived my Christian life and showed me a Christian life only so solo foundation is God's word. I was there, Lord allowed me to meet my wife and confirm his calling me to preach his word. So 2012, after we married, and we went back to China. And we started a planting church in southern part of China. And you look at the map of China, I did this morning a show, it's like a chicken. So what part of China, what part of the chicken I was at? Well, I was in the chicken feet. So you got a chance to eat the chicken, you see they remember you. There is a missionary on the chicken feet, and you'll pray for my and my family. And so 3 years ago, we started church planting, and Lord bless the ministry, and the people is growing. And so we are planning to going back to be full-time to pastoring the church, and also continue to train the nationals. And train the national, and you know, in China, you cannot have big church. Unless you're big, you just raise a red flag. So it requires your church small but strong. So just pray for us. We'll continue training. We already trained a couple, and they are now helping us taking over while we are here at deputation. We're planning that the Lord will allow us either, you know, send us to plant another church, or we're sending our missionary to go out for church planting. We hear about from Pastor last night and the great work in the Canada, this area, you know, the church planting. And just excited how God will use this local church. And just don't neglect your influential power. Every Christian. God gives you the influential power. No one that can, you know, substitute, take that place. But a lot of times it's because we do not realize the decision we made in our life, that what influence, what that will bring out to the people even you never met. You never met. And so I would just want to thank you for the opportunity to having us here to share the ministry in China. If you have more questions about China, ministry there, and you're welcome to stop by our table. And we'll hope we can be kind of encouragement to you. If this morning you have your Bible open, I would like you to turn with me, if you would, New Testament, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We'll begin reading from verse 12. To verse 18, actually this Bible verse, especially verse 18, is printing on our prayer card. And we begin reading God's word. If you don't mind, if you would like to stand up, if you can, and we show our respect of reading God's word. We begin reading at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's join us in prayer. Father, we ask you, have thy mercy, have thy grace on us this morning. Open thy precious word to individual of us. Speak to our heart through thy word by thy spirit. And Lord, I just ask you for perfect will be done here on individual of us. Bless this local church and stir our heart up to have the fire and the love for Christ, because you first love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you, Pastor, for giving us this opportunity to share God's word. And we read this Bible message. You see, it's a recorded Paul, Apostle Paul, that is sending to the apostle with the Gentile, how he converted and also be called and to send. But at that time, it's Saul. Before you look at this passage, there are three action words. Sending, we're in verse 17, I send thee, Jesus Christ, sending him. And 18 is so open their eyes, that the content of the sending, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So first, the part is sending, and then he asked him to send him to open and to turn. Send, open, and turn. And before he be sent, the one thing need to miraculously happen on him, that he need to be saved. And to Apostle Paul, he's saved by the same gospel as you got saved and I got saved. Well, we would say, no, Apostle Paul, many people said, well, you know, he has something special because, you know, something was something trick to him. He got to see the vision of Jesus Christ. But by the way, there is something, Lord, just share the same, this same poem. We read at 14, Saul, why persecute thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Here's verse 15, this question is really important. And I said, this Paul personal said, who are thou, Lord? Who are thou, Lord? The salvation is really, if it's a matter of personal, how you had the connection with Jesus Christ. And how you recognize him. He may be just a Sunday school teacher, a person mentioned on the Sunday school to you when you are a young child. Or maybe he's a preacher, he speaks his name, and even you can, anyway, even you read your Bible, yes, it's clear. But what it personally means to you? Who are thou? Who are thou, Lord? This is a very personal question. How you recognize Jesus of Nazareth, and that is determined that you, where you go to eternity, in hell or in heaven. And did you recognize him, that he is your personal savior? Apostle Paul, he don't have the problem of this atheistic Chinese guy here. I need to deal. I was explaining, every Chinese, we visited a wonderful, thank you Pastor for the hospitality. We went to a Chinese restaurant. We talked to, able to talk to our waitress. And she is from the same town I grew up. Well, where she is, it's just two blocks where she lives, just two blocks from me. And we're able to give her a gospel tract, and we get to know she went to some Bible study group. But you know, for every Chinese people, he need to go through a procedure. Is there a God? If there is God, so many God. Every religion, there is a God they call God. Who is the true God? If there is the one, the true God, that's Jesus Christ. What I need to deal with him? What I need to respond to him? And this is a lot of times Chinese people need to go through the three steps. But Apostle Paul does not need to go through that through step. He has perfect knowledge of the Old Testament, and he's waiting for the Messiah, which will translate the anointed one, their Savior. The Savior. Well, first you can call someone to be your Savior. You need a Savior. First you need to realize you need to be saved. There's no one you are securely sitting here. You are, everything's wonderful. You had absolutely no dangers. Why do you need to be saved? It just don't make sense. Before you truly can be saved, you need to realize that you need to be saved. And Apostle Paul, he's realized that he does not recognize who is the Savior. Until that day, he recognized Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior, he is the Lord. And so that is the conversion of Apostle Paul. But today, by God's word, by this perfect bow in your hand, in my hand, you will also get the same information. You get the same knowledge. You get the same, I will say, the true, not only information or knowledge, it's the same true that Apostle Paul he has. Jesus Christ is the Savior. But it's a person of matter, is how you personally recognize him. Sooner or later, you still need to answer this question. Who are thou? Who are thou, Lord? Because how your vision to see Christ, the first determine your salvation, where you're heading for eternity. The second, you truly got saved, that is the reason and the motivation why you are doing what you are doing here. In this town, Castle Guard, British Columbia, Canada. You see, Apostle Paul did not lack of a religious passion. You read with me as chapter 12. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority of commission from the chief priest, where he's going doing. He's going to Damascus to bound the Christian and persecute them and put them into the prison. He is with action, he is of a passion, but that is a wrong passion because he has wrong vision to Jesus Christ, who he is. So the more he thinks he served, God said, you are persecutest thou. You persecutest thou me. A lot of time, Christian, we won't truly involve the true service, true minister of Jesus Christ until we have the rightful vision. And because that is the rightful motivation that why you are doing what you are doing. And also the content, and I send it, and the 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a witness, a minister and witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. You notice that the Bible used minister and witness of both these things which thou hast seen. Well, first of all, I will twist it a little bit up. Witness. Think about this more. What means witness? Did you have a courthouse in this town? In a courthouse, there is a special section or chair. It's called witness chair. Someone will sit in there and the judge will ask that person, so-and-so, so tell us, what yesterday you saw, what where are you, what you see, what you hear, what you saw. And that someone sitting there said, Your Honor, I was not there. But so-and-so tell me this, okay? And all he would ask, Your Honor, I was not there, but I guess, I assume, this is what happened. Do you think that is a true witness? And Lord, help us. Sometimes our Christians just like that. We do not have that our this is true witness because this is from a personal that to experience God, experience Christ, and from His Word, that how His Word come true on us, our lives. And we may be telling someone's story. There's nothing wrong with telling someone's testimony. But eventually, that's God's calling you and I. You cannot avoid that. He has a divine purpose for you and I to bear true witness unto Jesus Christ. From Jerusalem to all the Judeans, to Samaria, to the utmost part of the world. And so that is a witness. And minister. Minister how you deal with what you see. How you deal with what you learn. I know you guys, many people have different family background. You may grow up in a have a family that have a Christian heritage. I grew up in a Christ-like home. And my wife grew up totally, and her parents have been to missionary to Indonesia. That is to prepare her the other day to be a missionary to China. And Lord, using many things happen in your life to prepare you for His divine purpose. I don't know exactly what to each one, but how you're going to deal with it. Minister. Minister. How you're going to deal with what God has done in your life. Are you willing to be that faithful witness? If you're willing, God will send thee as He's sending Paul. He said, Now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Faith that is in me. How can a person to get to leave the darkness then turn to light? How can a person to be set free from the bondage of the power of Satan and turn them unto God? That's all by faith in Jesus Christ. There's faith in Him. And faith in Him. That is the same salvation, the same message that Paul testified, and you will testify, I will testify, that the same great salvation put our faith in Him, Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. We wish everyone, look at the window, and we wish everyone in this town, just look at this neighborhood, everyone in this town truly put his faith, his trust, that in Jesus Christ. But did they do that? No. Did you ever go out of door knocking or soul winning? What do people respond to you? Oh, nice Christian. I know you guys. I know your pastor. You got nice. You know what? Especially maybe young people. Putting their earphone, listening to those boom music, and they're jumping here and all driving a car. Oh, yeah. I have been there. They said they do not see what is connected to me. I mean, you guys are nice. You guys are a group of people. Yeah, your Sunday will do or sing that song. That's nice. I know you guys are kind. Because their eyes blind. When we just try to turn them, they're not willing to be turned. Because the Bible shows this divine sequence. If you would, look with me. Verse 18. To open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light. Before their eyes be opened, they won't really be turned. And whenever they really be turned, Christ saved them. It's a matter you and I willing to turn, they may really return. But the matter of fact, you and I, the critical point is how does God will use us in this practical ministry, just daily life, your neighbor, whatever chance you get come across of their life, that to be a witness, to make their eyes to be open. They're open to see what? They will open to see their need, where they are. They also need to see where is the hope is, so they can turn to it. Now, I want to say, how God be the first missionary, and give the gospel to the sinful man. That's what we call it, Genesis chapter 3, if we would like, the term of me, chapter 3, how God opened Adam and Eve's eyes. In Genesis chapter 3, I assume everyone already know that record that history, the sin against God. By the way, we will look at this, chapter 3, the very beginning of that sin, before they even sin, recorded that beginning of chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And who said? The serpent said. The serpent began speaking the word, and that entered to the mind of Eve, the woman. He said unto the woman, ye have God said. Devil want to speak to your mind, to mixing up what God's word said. He challenged Eve to say, ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, in order to see how the subtlety of the serpent, the devil, to twist it, God's word, the sin is speaking from the devil, twisted God's word, the drawing the whole world into sin. But in the chapter 2, what God's word is saying, he said, of the every tree, but of the tree of knowledge of good, verse 16, we come back to it a little bit. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Wow. You look at, compare verse 15 and 16, and you compare with chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent said, ye had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You notice that in English, very plain. God first in 16, he said, of every tree, what? You can eat or not eat. He said, all this you can eat, you can freely eat, but of those one tree that are of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. God's word is first give them all this freedom, option, and then tell him, this is the one that I commanded thou should not eat. There's nothing about wrong about that tree, you understand that? It's not there's a sin element in that tree's fruit. It's just that it's a line, like you're driving in a car, there's a stop line, it's a white line there, it's a line, the line is not bad or good, it's just a line. If you stop before the line, you keep the regulation, you are not in trouble. If you cross the line, you rush the red light, you are in trouble. So that fruit is nothing sinful thing about that tree. It's a line to see a reference point, and it's a see we are still obeying God's word, or we are disobeying God's word. And that's the challenge. Devil, it is always its go after. It's against Christ. So he wants to stir up man to see twisted our will of God's will by twisting his word. God's word is that freely eat all this, but you accept this. But devil challenge you, is it really every tree you can eat? He always wants you to think about the thing that you do not have. Look at that. Wow, your neighbor just got a BMW. You're still driving your 10-year-old Honda. You understand what I'm talking about? And look at the other neighbor. Well, they just upgraded their basement. Look at you. What do you have? Your basement? Spider net? You understand what I'm talking about? Well, God always wanted you to see the thing, and the devil wants you to see the thing that is trigger you to what? To dissatisfy what God has been giving you. And to challenge you to trust God. Because, oh, that's true. Why God did not give me a BMW? Oh, God must love him more than love me. He wanted to trigger your mind to thinking that way. I want to share, I don't want to stop here too much time, but I just want to share how important the war, the spiritual war, is always happening on God's word. The devil tried to twist it, God's word, to make you, your mind, to challenge, to doubt, to even, you know, just against God's word. And but how God's word make it them open? By God speaking his word to man. And that is, you read at chapter 3, Genesis 3, and that how is turning point is begin from God speak. At verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they saw fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Verse 8 said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the tree of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where art thou? God is first speaking to the sinful man. He's seeking, and as the New Testament Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man come to seek and to save. He is the initiator to come to seek and to save. Where art thou? Let me ask you this question. If God knows everything, why do you want to ask, where art thou? Don't he do not know the location where Adam and Eve hiding? He did. If he knows, why he asked, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Why he asked, where are you? If you be a parent, you will understand that. That is a kind of question, not because you do not know, you want to answer. You ask that question as to raise up your child's attention. You know your kid's going to, there is a road here, and he crossed your front yard and opened the door, want to play on the sidewalk of the street. You know the car going to the back and forward, going to hit him. You know where he is, but you will ask, where are you, Nancy? Where are you, Lena? Whatever case. Because you show your care to them. And you want to raise up their attention, turn their attention back to you. But that is a lot of time. When we try to witness someone, we must show them God's interest in their personal life, in their habits, practical, in their life situation. You know, a lot of time in China, I show them Bible. They say, oh, you're nice. This is American book, Western culture book. I'm Chinese. You want to deal with me, this Bible? No, if you read it, if I go through that, God's word is amazingly that precise recorded that how they relate to our life. I will show them this verse. I often say, look at with me the comparison before sin and after sin. Adam, how treat his wife. Before sin, you notice that at 24, 23, especially recorded how Adam treat his wife. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And after seeing how Adam treat his wife, verse 12, and the same man, after seeing the same man blaming his wife, said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Not my fault. Her fault. She gave it to me. So I eat. Have you ever met such a husband, a man, blaming someone? There's one here, right here. Thou God's mercy, grace. I just exactly like Adam. How many times? It's because I did not be a proper leader in my home to leading my family, that I want to just blame my wife It's your fault because you do this, if you say that, things like that. And Lord, show us from His Word how seen the destruction. First broken up man and God, that fellowship. You'll notice that verse 7, it says, they found out they are ashamed, they were naked, and they sewed their leaf tree together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of God working in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the tree of the garden. Hid themselves. Sin first broken you is want you to go away, go astray from God. Hid yourself, nothing to do with Him. Put yourself in a position that not in the presence of God. And second, sin further destroy your family, meaning your marriage. Between, that is the marriage is the foundation of family, right? If no one married, there's no family that started. The family started, it became the marriage, covenant. And then husband no longer call him, your bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, the most intimate relationship that Adam, the first poem of love toward his wife. And by the way, God created ladies like that. They want to hear that intimate expression from their husband. And then instead, after seeing Adam do not say bone of bone, flesh of flesh, said, not my fault, your fault. The woman thou gavest to me. And also, God, this woman even said, you stop her with me. And she gave this to me to eat. You know, you will no longer see that love, kindness, that romantic in that relationship. Still nothing goes too wrong, okay? I understand. I was coming from a broken home. In China today, divorce rate over 60 to 70%. I do not know too much about Canada. You guys probably know more than I do. 60-70 in China, divorce rate. I'm one of those kids from a broken home. Seeing broken, this family still hit them. Just like here. But then, chapter 4, you just turn one page over. You do not need to read all this chapter 4. You already know what I'm trying to say. Chapter 4, World War I happened. The brother killed his own wife. Not only wine. Complete, then neglect that family, that tie, that relation, that love, that God brings, that family tie, that together, they because sin, that brokenness, that also turned me violent, bloody. And then you see World War I happen. You know what? When Adam and Eve eat the fruit of that tree God commanded thou should not eat, they never thought about chapter 4, what happened. Their own son will kill his own son. Young people, not only young people, middle-aged people, old people, it doesn't matter what you and I, what age you are, sin is always that subtlety. All it begins is something, not a big deal. Not a big deal, just eat that fruit. Not a big deal, no one will die. Nothing will happen. It always begins with something, not a big deal. And then you will see, they always bring you to a degree, to a place you never want to be. I guarantee you, if Adam and Eve foresee chapter 4, his own son will kill his another son, they won't touch that fruit. But here's the thing, the devil twisted God's word, so made them to doubt, not put their trust in God's word. You remember this morning I talked about the Bible test issue, NIV, ESV, and the King James Bible? They are because the source is different. There's critical tests that the Westcott and had twisted God's word. There over 100, I don't know how to count, consistent. How many Bible words and word be deleted, mixing in that new test? I mean the source, Greek test. God, you know, that word, the devil still using the same trick as Genesis chapter 3, even today. He did not need to tempt you strongly to sin, you know. You and I, our sinful nature born with it, you already are willing to sin. The only way he tried to do is stop you blinding your eyes to see God's word. Because once your eyes be open, you see where you are, then what the sin, the consequence will come to bring it be, you will willing to turn. But devil's greatest word is don't want me to turn to God. To turn from darkness to light. To turn from the power of Satan and unto God. He wants you to continue your way. Live the destruction life. From chapter 3 to chapter 4. You understand what I'm talking about? Bring them to a place. Bring you to a place that you never thought about. That you will go to that place. May the Lord help us. Devil try to twist it, God's word. But God, by God's word speaking, you and I willing to hear. And often that time, because God's word, how will live our willingness with seeing God's word connected to our life? God's meaning. And I believe how Adam, he is the first person God saved. The evidence of salvation is because he's speaking, that speaking of his faith, he said. And Adam knew, and he called his wife's name at 20, at the last part of the chapter 3. He called his wife's name at 20, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Hey, she should not be called mother of all living. She should be called mother of all dying. God said the word, the day you eat that fruit of the tree, you surely die. But how Adam will say she is the mother of all living? Don't forget, Adam is standing right there from verse 14 to verse 19 when God announced the judgment. And God is showing him that's the consequence. Consequence. Well, why if you bear that hardship, the difficulty in the childbirth, the ground will be cursed. All this consequence, Adam was seeing that. But he also seen God put the promise. God first put the promise, I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And God foretell Adam that the defeated devil, and God show Adam all this consequence, also show them the hope in the midst of that judgment. It's very important. This is the gospel even of all time that will awaken people that blind the spiritual eye. Neither must we show the hope in the midst of that curse and judgment. First, if they do not hear about the bad news, there's no good news for them. You never heard about the bad news, why you say you have good news for me? They must clear hear about the bad news. The judgment is coming. The curse is on us. But God gives the hope in the midst of the judgment. Gives that victory that in Jesus Christ, if you and I are willing, turn unto him. But today, are your eyes still be blinded? Are still closed? Or by this God's word, you said, I see, and I'm willing to turn. Whatever case, let's bow our heads in prayer.